John is don'ts. You see all the do's and no don'ts? Or you see all the don'ts and no do's? Or you confuse the two of them and double cross? They're getting double crossed. So we have two sides to our own nature and our own life, don't we? Yes, two sides to our own life. You have the spiritual side and the rational side, or the spiritual side, the emotional side and the rational side. You have these two sides to your life. If Satan worked through these two bodies of yours, or these two aspects of your own life and nature, he can turn them against you and turn you against them, where you are not getting the proper use of your life, not relating properly to your own life. And that would be a double cross. But actually, cross is a human being. And not the first, the Quran, they're not the first to do that. Go all the way back to Egypt. Quran takes it back to Egypt. And Pharaoh said, if you disobey me, I will cut your limbs off on the opposite side, or crucify you, put you up front of the cross. I've been over there. I've studied their symbolism, and they have a figure they call the heavenly cow. And on this figure, a lot of crosses. Now this existed before Christianity, maybe even before Judaism. Who knows? This is ancient, very ancient. They have a cow they call the heavenly cow. And on that cow, nothing but a picture of a cross. You can go see it for yourself, if you like. If you find it that interesting, and you want to have it verified, you can go there. You can go to Egypt. Go to Egypt and see it for yourself. Go to the pyramids of Egypt, and you will see the picture of the heavenly cow. And you'll see the crosses all over it. No, I do that. Just look in the dictionary. I mean, in the encyclopedia. Get you a good encyclopedia and look up heavenly cow. Pretty sure somewhere in that section of the encyclopedia on Egyptian myth, the cow, you're going to find a picture. Most likely, you'll find a picture of the cow with those crosses on that cow. So, what does it mean? What does it mean, the cross? The balance is something you inherit. The uswa, we inherit that. It's in the nature. It's in the biological body, the gross body. Gross body is in the body. It comes by the way of genes from Adam to us. Genetically, we have this. You see? So what it means? It means the intelligence that is not controlled by your mind, but you have inherited it. And that's your first intelligence, isn't it? That's your first intelligence. Man was really supported by inherent intelligence before he was supported by learning, like an animal. So he was able to build homes. He was able to do a lot of things with nothing but instinct and inherent intelligence. Eventually, trial and error, it brought him to have some form of society. The dawning of enlightenment came late in the history of man on this earth, where he follows a teaching or a logic or a science for his life, for the direction in his life, or the establishment of his life. That came late. So Uswa Hasana is saying, no, man is not despicable in his nature. Man is not without value in his own nature, created nature. No, in his created nature is his best form. Uswatan Hasana. It was created by God for him. And God made him, created him with the senses, with the life and the sensitivities and senses to follow it, to eventually come to it. The proof is Muhammad the Prophet. He came to it without revelation, without educators to teach him. He came to it. This is something he got before Quran, before revelation. His uswa, hasana. So it's the property of all men then, isn't it? Yes. It's the property of all men, this uswatan, hasana. So it's also a cross. Because it's in the body without the head. You got it now? It's in the body without the head. So take the head off, you got the cross. Take the head off and leave the neck, you got the cross. And put him in the balance. And this is how men always try to balance. When they're walking on something very difficult, tight walk, or walking on a fence, it's natural to throw your arms out like that to get that balance. It's instinct to throw your arms like this to get the balance. That's the cross. Balance. Perpendicular. With the square. Or to the square. Yes. That's the balance. So this is a cross. That's why in religious science, the cross itself is a light. Meaning the cross itself has its own science. It has its own separate body of knowledge or science. The cross itself. The cross is an illuminated figure. It's a shining figure. Look at it. And somebody, I guess it was the Iblis, gave the clan a little knowledge of it. So when you ain't obeying them, they come and set the cross afire. And the balance is disturbed. We here to get you too, nigga. Balance is angry. On fire. The Prophet's Uswa. So the Prophet's Uswa is different from his Sunnah. See? The Uswa is what he have by virtue of his own human creation. Something that everybody else has as a potential. Whether they achieve it or not is another matter, but they have it as a potential. That means it is a common property of everybody. This Uswa Hasana is a common property of every human being. Sometimes the environment won't permit us to realize it. Sometimes our own misbehaving keeps us out of it. Mm-hmm. But it is the common property of all people, this uswa, hasana. So actually, Muhammad is a picture of our humanity as God made it and as God intended for all of us. That's why he's given to all of us. So not just his uswa, I mean his sunnah. All this talk about sunnah. But more important than sunnah for us is his uswa. The sunnah has been confused. We have confusion when it comes to knowing what his sunnah is. Have a bunch of Shiites, they don't even agree. I shouldn't say a bunch of Shiites, that was disrespect. They don't come in bunches. So forgive me for that. We have bodies of Shiites who disagree with that. They don't even follow the sunnah. They don't agree with that idea about the sunnah. But none of them disagree with his uswa. All of them accept his uswa. That his uswa is uswatan hasanat. Most excellent and suitable for all people to emulate, to model, to copy that sunnah, that uswa, pardon me, that uswa. So this is universal. This is universal. So Prophet Muhammad, in his picture of a man, of humanity, he's a universal message. Universal message, a message to all mankind. It's in the Quran. Certainly we have made noble all the sons, all the children of Adam. Why is that said? Because some say some of the children of Ham. And they are not noble. They are mean, low-based, despicable creatures. And the same Bible says Ham is Egypt. And Egypt is in Africa. So we have been slandered, haven't we? Yes. We've been mocked and slandered. Our worth as a human being has been mocked and slandered by people ignorantly trying to read scripture and interpret it and translate it, and having their own ambitions influence their translations or their interpretations. Their ambition is to become the masters and everybody else be subjects. To create a class of masters and a class of slaves. So they targeted the African people to make us the slaves and they the masters. White supremacy, racism in this modern time. You think that God will reveal something to a prophet in the big issue of racism? The issue of the 20th century, as Du Bois said, W.B. Du Bois said, you think God didn't know about that? And God wouldn't have something to say about that? Muhammad addressed it in his lifetime, because it was already existing when he was there on earth. He addressed slavery. He addressed disrespect for the black people. Yeah. No superiority of a white over a black. No superiority of a black over a white. That's in his farewell address. He's addressing racism. So if he's addressing it, and he used the Quran to back up what he was saying, didn't he? That's no rank to be given to you because you're black or white. How you rank depends upon your obedience to God. That's what he said. That's the Quran. That's what God gave him. And then he backed it up with his own lecture, with his own speech. No superiority over white over black or black over white. The only superiority is your obedience, is in your obedience to God. They say your piety, but it means your obedience to God. Your conscious fear to obey God and not disobey him. That's a taqwa. So God has created the man, human being, like a plant. A plant reaches its maturity or its final stage for its growth in stages. It's first a seed, dead. And then it becomes a root with a stem, very weak. That's its first stage of life. Seed is a dead state. First stage of life is roots in the earth with a little stem so they can have sunlight, freedom. And then it takes another form. It develops branches or it turns green and it stands up. Some will bear flower. Some will bear seed. Some will bear fruit. So actually, there's three stages, isn't it? Three main stages. One is anchoring in the ground. The other one is forming outside of the ground. The last one is providing for its continued life. The fruit gives you something nice to taste and everything. It gives you pleasure and also seed. Flower gives you beauty, also seed, reproduction. The grass gives you its seed back, huh? The grass gives you seed back. The grass wants your attention to be on reproduction. The flower wants your attention to be on charity, goodness, beauty, etc. And look how wonderful God is. Gave us something here to satisfy the need in our life for beauty. And the need in a man's life for beauty. The fruit, delicious fruit come. Wonderful. Something to satisfy my taste. To please my taste buds. A lot of food, they don't excite your taste buds, but you got to eat it because it's stable. Stable food. Well, you got to put spice on it to make it excite your taste buds. But it's stable food, you have to eat it. You have, like wheat, like rice. you had to put the spices on. You had to doctor it up a little bit for it to excite the taste buds. But you eat it whether you got those spices doctored up or not. Why am I mentioning, grass like this? Because the Bible talks about grass. It says that the prophet, the servant of God, he describing himself, he says, what is the Son of Man but grass? What is the Son of Man but grass? A khalifa. Grass wants you to see how it got here. They want to put in your hands that will bring it back again. The seed. It gives you its seed. Mr. Farad, he put a lot of importance on beans, especially navy beans, white to symbolize purity in his language. Why? Because beans are the same thing that grass does. Beans even does a little more. Beans, the bean plant, comes out of the seed and root itself in the ground and sends its seed up into the view, into the light. Its seed opened up, giving up its secret. But the grass is not there to show off. It's humble. It's not vain. It's not pretty. It's simple. Straight up. And because it's not vain, it gives you the secrets of its life. It's not in the ground. It's right there in your eyes. It's not covered. It's not enshrouded like the apple seed. You had to bite down into the apple and find the seed. No. With its life, as it expresses itself, shows you its secret, the secret of its origin. Here's the secret of its origin, of my origin, the seed. And so it's a sign of openness, honesty and charity with knowledge, the knowledge of how life continues. How are we to continue the life? The family, the farmer with the seed, he knows how to continue that life. He will plant it next spring, and that life continues. And he multiplies it. Instead of it growing up accidentally or randomly, farmer takes his seed and he have a plan. that have fields of it, all in one area, continuously, without interruption. You see? Yes, the grass. And the grass is food for the cows, isn't it? And also for the sheep and other animals that live on the grass. And it's a cover for the earth. Cover for the earth. Beautiful cover. Like a rug. All I say, see how he spread the rug, the earth out like a carpet? Yeah. So the cow, we mentioned the cow earlier, that God said in the Quran, and he revealed the cow, the four heads of cattle in pairs. So they eat grass. And if the grass is a servant of God, and the servant of God has given up the secrets of life, then what are they eating? They eat knowledge. The cows are eating a particular knowledge. And those that eat that kind of knowledge with awareness of it, they are sacred cows. Sacred cows. So in the intellect is a cow, and the cow chews on what it's trying to understand and taste and digest. Chews on a lot. The cow doesn't just pick up something and swallow it. Chews on it a lot. Then it's got a second stomach. It puts it in there and let it sit there for a while in a place of rest. And then when the thought hit it, bring it back up. Chew on it some more. And say, now that I've been in that place of rest for a while, maybe now I can find out what this is. Learn more about what this is I have swallowed. I have been chewing on and swallowing. This is the intellect. It's an activity of the intellect. You see? And he revealed four heads of cattle in pairs. Chew on the universal knowledge. That's what that is. Universal knowledge. God revealed it. Man did not come by universal truth on his own. God revealed to man the universal truth. Well, there's a lot to be said. You could write books, many books. We're good. Just on the cross, we can write several books, several volumes. But we're not going to do that. We want our attention on the pure light. On the innocent light. Those symbols are not innocent anymore. Those symbols have been used by the devil, by the Satan. So not safe to take them up. Take them up with people. Thank you for joining them. But it's good for us to have the knowledge so we can better guide our own life and protect our own children and have better qualified leaders for the future. We'll be more secure, better protected from the suggestions of the Satan and the confusion that's in the knowledge of the world, you see. So I'll conclude this at this point. Man is the creation of God. And he's created to worship God and to serve God, God's will and God's plan. And in his purpose and in his aim, created by God, he has no sin no shame, nothing but nobility, purity, and excellence. And this is a message for the whole world, so that no man will have to go with his head hung down because someone told him he's inferior to another man or inferior to another race. Let them hear what Allah says, what their Lord who created them said. They are not inferior to anybody. They're equal to every other human being. And then we have the rational argument to back it up. So this is the message, the universal message of the Uswa of Muhammad. He was not educated. So they said, oh, without education, the human being is nothing but a despicable beast. That's what the arrogant learners, knowledgeable ones were saying. Yeah. Without education, without this light we have, we can be nothing but an animal, a despicable beast. And that's how we should treat him. We shouldn't accord him the same privileges we accord ourselves. For most of the history of so-called civilization, the common man was treated as an animal and was not denied equal access to knowledge, to education, etc. So were the women, sisters. So were you. You were left out. You were not included. There's only reason in the history of man after the Quran that women's rights and the proper respect for woman as an equal with man came. Only after the Quran. Only after Muhammad the Prophet. So shouldn't we publish the word of God, the Quran? And shouldn't we publish the Uswa of Muhammad to the whole world? This is our obligation. Our obligation is to advance the light of Islam and the light of Muhammad, to share it with the world so that the world see. Because the world needs it. The world is under oppression. The world is under burden. The intellect is strained. The intellect is burdened. The intellect is confused. The spirit is strained. The spirit is tormented. The emotional life is confused. The spirit and the emotional life and the intellect are all confused and tormented, strained, because of the lies, the misconceptions in the knowledge of the world. And man is set against himself. One ethnic group against the other. One nation against the other. One race against the other. This is the state of the world. It hasn't changed yet. It's only Islam that is advancing the cure. And we're supposed to be Muslims and servants of Islam, servants in the path of God, and not going to take up this issue? No, we have to take up this issue. Don't just preach like spooks. Ah, Muhammad the Prophet. Ah, wonderful servant of God. Ah. And he said, love for your brother what you love for yourself. Man, get the bigger issue. Get to the bigger issue. He said, I'm a man just like you. I'm the same creation you are. I'm in you, and you in me. We have common property. We share in a common property, the excellence of man. And God has mercy, has shown me to you, so that you will see the model that is the property of all men. And God says there's no superiority of one people over another. And God says nobody is born an animal or without nobility. That every child is born Muslim and every child is born with nobility. With the right to ascend to the throne. That's what it means. That's what nobility means. You have a right to ascend to the throne. To go as high as that society can go. That's what it means. The nobles could go as high as the society could go. They could be presidents, kings, and leaders, etc. This is the message of Islam. That message is the message they needed badly. And you swooning over being able to recite in Arabic. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Get your stroke and you go on home. And the world needs you to give the medicine that will heal the whole humanity of racism, disease of racism and materialism, etc., and ignorance, false knowledge. You got a great mission. And you there playing with your little two-cent toy like a baby on the floor. I'm serious. Very serious. The Quran itself, if it's just given to people, it has the power to advance God's cause. If we don't say a thing, just give them Quran. Especially the intelligent ones, the learning. It has the power itself, by itself. It's a living, organic entity. It has its own life, its own light, its own voice. It can speak itself. Now, if God bless you with insight and knowledge, then look how powerful you are. Then it becomes like the oil that's before it's lit. It's glistening. But now if we can light it, oh boy. Thank you. God forgive us our errors. Have mercy on us. Guide us always. Amen. Amen.
Allahu Akbar.
We going home, brother.
Yes, that's right.
God created us to have a house on this earth. A home on this earth. And we going home. That's what God got us here for. Have our home.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have that home.
Yes, sir.
On this earth.
Not in the sky.
In the by and by, but right here now. On this earth. And that's going to earn us the heaven, the house in the heavens above.
All right, so we're going to take a break, and we'll come back at my group. Now we'll come back for Iftar, and then work with it from there. Okay. Oh, yeah, we've got a few other people. You can see Imam Yusuf on the record. Yeah. Okay, did I give you a list? Here's a list.
Margaret's at 5:30.